As we come this evening to continue the theme of this morning concerning the cost of true discipleship with a specific focus on the matter of self-denial, I ask you please to turn with me in that central passage for today that we considered earlier, Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24, page 1131 in the Pew Bible. Matthew 16, verse 24. As Jesus here in the context speaks to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi in laying out the essential requirements for all who would be his follower, we read the words which say, Matthew 16, verse 24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" And before we come to the second part of the message for today, let's once again pray, dear brothers and sisters, and ask the Lord's blessings on our time. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful hymns that we have sung this evening. We thank you, Lord, that they direct our minds and our hearts to the subject at hand. And we ask, O God, that having considered the material from this morning and after this evening's message, that indeed, O God, we would love you more than these. Help us, O God, to deny ourselves and to take up our crosses and to follow hard after you all of our days. Drive out of our hearts, O God, lethargy and worldliness and anything, O God, that would cause us to live contrary to your holy and blessed will. Speak then, we pray, O God, especially again this evening. Give us help from on high, Lord. You know the weakness of the body and the mind. So come, we pray, with the great Holy Spirit and give us the needed strength for this hour. We pray and plead these things in that worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It is the well-known and well-loved Reformed Baptist pastor, Walter Chantry, who wrote in his excellent book entitled The Shadow of the Cross, that, quote, "self-denial is a practice that lies very near to the heart of religion, and that of all people, Reformed Christians should resurrect the biblical teaching on the subject from its obscurity." Chantry writes that, quote, "the true Calvinist always leads, rather, true Calvinism always leads to the appreciation of self-denial, for when the doctrines of grace are warmly and experientially preached, denial of self is necessarily one of the chief experiences of the soul." Now, I don't know about you, dear brothers and sisters, but for me, I find that living in the world that we do, that this makes this whole matter of denying ourselves quite difficult, because we live in an age which is marked by self-love, self-indulgence, self-seeking, self-conceit, self-will, and self-righteousness. To me, practicing self-denial is that which is very hard. As a matter of fact, I believe that if the truth was known, perhaps most of us would say that because we are so self-consumed, that denying ourselves is one of the last things that we want to do. Now, although this might be the case, I also believe that if we are true Christians, that we do want to grow in this biblical and spiritual discipline. I believe that if we are in good spiritual shape, that this is something that we want to learn more of and to practice in our lives. But how are we to be motivated to this end? Since in fact Jesus calls us, yes, even commands us to do this as we consider this morning, how can we be encouraged to this sacred practice as his people? Well, this is what we're going to consider this evening as we come to the second part of the message from this morning. Having preached verse 24 in some detail, I feel that it's necessary to now give you some biblical motives for carrying out the blessed task at hand. Now, as we begin for tonight, just so that we're clear, let me briefly review what I said this morning about the matter of self-denial by way of definition. How do we define, rather, what it means to deny ourselves? Well, this morning, I said that self-denial is putting ourselves out of the picture and putting Christ, His ways, His word, His truth, His commands, and His gospel as first in our lives. I said that to deny ourselves, we must say no to ourselves, be that carnal self, prideful self, lustful self, worldly self, boastful self, or deceitful self, which always seeks to have the preeminence in all that we do. And we do this, firstly, by remembering that we have been bought with a price and that we are no longer our own. Secondly, we do this by resisting with the Spirit's power the first stirrings to self-centeredness. And then thirdly, we do this by repenting whenever we sin. Denying ourselves, as I stated earlier, doesn't mean that we embrace the wicked, man-centered practices of self-asceticism, rather, or monasticism. It does not mean that we deny who we are fundamentally as image bearers of God or refuse blessings that come to us. Rather, it means that we renounce, disown, disavow, and mortify our old sinful selves whenever they seek to take the spotlight and to run contrary to the will of God. Now we ask them, will it be easy to do these things? Will putting ourselves in check be a simple task? Well, the answer, as you know, is no. And so if we are to do this, and so glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and obey what He's called us to do in our passage, then this evening I want to give you some key biblical incentives so that you will be equipped for this calling. Since Jesus says that if we're going to follow Him successfully, we must of necessity deny ourselves. And this evening I want to give you 10 inducements to this blessed end. And the first is this. As Christians, we should regularly practice self-denial or denying ourselves because our Lord Jesus Christ has left us a pattern of this in Himself to follow. Firstly, why should we do this? Because our Lord Jesus Christ has left us a pattern in this in Himself for us to follow. Now, dear brothers and sisters, here is where we must begin this whole matter of motives and incentives to denying ourselves. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ did not call us to do something which He Himself was not intimately acquainted with. No, rather, His entire life was one of self-denial. Jesus' life from the beginning to end was a life of saying no to self and yes to the will of God. For the Apostle Paul could say in Romans 15 and verse 3, for even Christ did not please Himself. Now thanks be to God that this was the posture that our Lord Jesus Christ took, right? Thanks be to God that Jesus willingly denied Himself, because if He did not do this, none of us would be saved. Thanks be to God that Jesus, through the entirety of His life, was willing to say in principle to His Father, not my will, but Your will be done. And so, in the plan of redemption, in the covenant of grace, Jesus laid aside His glory, left heaven, took on human flesh, was born by way of Mary's womb, lived a life among wretched sinners, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And on the cross, He made a perfect sacrifice for our sins to God the Father. Glory be to His name. Well, friends, in this we must take a lesson from our Lord, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the supreme example and model for us to deny ourselves. For the Apostle John can say in 1 John 2 and verse 6, he who says he abides in Jesus ought himself to walk just as He walked. What's the motive for me to deny myself? My Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I pause to ask you here this evening, my dear Christian, what about you? What about you? Since Jesus calls you to deny yourself, I ask you, have you been involved in this practice? Have you been? A dear believer, if there's anything in your life which is standing in the way of how God would have you to live, you must turn from it. If there's a sin, or even not a sin, but something which is not helpful for you, in your progress in holiness, then you must put it off for the sake of Christ and His kingdom. Whatever it might be in your life, dear believer, if there's something there which is causing you to falter in your walk with Christ and in your commitment to Jesus and His truth, it must be repented of and done away with the help and grace of God. I say, dear Christian, here tonight, since the Lord Himself denied Himself for your sake, you must regularly and habitually deny yourself for His sake. Secondly, as Christians, if we are to follow Jesus as He calls us to, then we should be in the regular practice of denying ourselves, because self-denial is a way of true spiritual advancement in the Christian life. Self-denial is a way of true spiritual advancement in the Christian life. Dear Christian, here this evening, as I said earlier, self is one of the great hindrances in our walk with Christ. Self is always going to cause us to be tripped up. Self loves to do its own thing, and therefore self, old self, is a great troublemaker. And I'm convinced that the more that we say no to self, to sinful self, the more we will be enabled to live for Christ. If we are to advance in the Christian life, then according to Ephesians 4 and verse 22 and following, we are to put off concerning our former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Why should we be engaged in self-denial as we've defined it throughout the day? Because if we are to grow in grace, if we are to know true spiritual advancement in our lives, we must daily say no to self and yes to Jesus. Thirdly, as Christians, if we are to follow Christ as He calls us to, then we should be in the regular practice of denying ourselves, because self-denial engenders great peace in the heart of the true believer. Self-denial engenders true peace in the heart of the believer. A dear child of God here this evening, the devil loves nothing more than to have you focusing upon yourself. The devil loves nothing more than to have you focused inwardly so that you can see every minute detail of every little sin that you've ever committed, so that you will endlessly be put on guilt trips. And then I ask you, where in the world is peace in the midst of this? Oh, he loves to just stick your head down and have you navel gazing so that you can see how wretched, how miserable you are. Now, am I saying that at times we ought not to enter into the duty of examining ourselves? I am not saying that we shouldn't do this. However, the point of the matter is that if there is to be real peace within our lives as Christians, then we must not constantly be fixed upon ourselves. Rather, we are to be fixed upon the glory, the work, the person of Jesus Christ, our great King. Listen for a moment to the great Dutch reformer Wilhelmus Abrakel in this regard. In speaking about this matter of self-denial engendering peace within us, he says, "All of our restlessness as Christians is the result of seeking ourselves. For then our consciences convict us of sin, and something is always wrong, and everywhere there are thorns to prick you." However, Abrakel says, "There is much peace in the heart where self is denied and where one is content with Jesus." He writes, quote, "Such a heart will be elevated above the earth and is beyond the reach of the world and all that is to be found in it." He writes, "Therefore, cast self away as being troublesome. Speak to yourself as follows: away sin, away pride, and away self-love. I've been plagued by you long enough. I no longer know you. I no longer desire you. And I wish to live in peace with my God and perform my task with freedom and run my course with joy." If we're constantly focusing upon ourselves, we're going to find many problems with ourselves. And all reason and evidences for why we should be depressed and miserable and never find joy in the Christian life. We're not called to be self-centered in this regard as Christians, or in any regard as Christians. And so I say that if we are going to know peace in our lives, while not again denying the fact that at times we should look in and examine ourselves, but this ought not to be the regular posture for the Christian. For if we are always looking within, we will always be saying with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 when he wrote as a Christian, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Should the Christian always be saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am"? In one sense, perhaps. If it'll give glory to Christ, we'll speak about that later. However, the point of the matter is, if that's only what we're doing, we will not glorify Christ, because self will be our focus instead of Jesus himself. Again, as I said, we should deny ourselves, because the more self is in view, every negative nuance about ourselves will continually plague us as Christians, and this could never be good. Fourth, as Christians, if we are to follow Jesus as he calls us to, by denying ourselves, we should be in this practice regularly, because this is how we will focus on the needs of others and be a blessing to them. Why should we do it? Because this is how we will focus on the needs of others and be a blessing to them. Now, here I'm thinking specifically about us doing this in the context of the local church. Dear brothers and sisters, if we are Christians who are consumed with ourselves, then we will have great trouble fulfilling many of the commands in the Word of God. And I'm thinking specifically about the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, verse 3 and following, where he said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Well, I ask, how in the world could we possibly do this if self is at the forefront of our lives? Can't be done. It can't be done. And so we cannot fulfill what Paul calls us to do as Christians. Esteeming others better than ourselves. Not only looking out for our own interests, but for the interests of our brethren. How could we do this if we view life as all about us? How could we serve others if we think it's all about us? We can't, friends. And so if we come into this place, our own local church, with an attitude that it's all about us, then surely we will run into trouble. If we come into this place looking for everyone to serve us, then we will not be serving others as God calls us to. No, dear friends, this will be a recipe for disaster in the church. However, if we come into this place seeking to do good to our brethren, to serve them, and to love them, and to help them, we'll have a good opportunity to do that this Saturday with our dear brethren. To come out of ourselves, even if it's inconvenient, I want to serve someone else. Here is how love will flourish in this place. Here is how Christ will be exalted. Fifthly, as Christians, if we're to follow Jesus as he calls us to, then we should regularly be in the practice of denying ourselves, because if we are married, this will be a great motive and help to marital success. Now, in counseling many couples over the years regarding marriage, time and again, this matter of self-centeredness comes up. The wife says, "He doesn't care about me." The husband says, "She's always too busy for me." Or vice versa. And so we see then that even the marital union suffers in this regard. Well, dear ones, let me just say as plainly as I can, a selfishness in a marriage is a great sin, and it will greatly cripple the marriage. If two people are not living for each other in the union of marriage, then this is completely antithetical to how God would have us to live. Dear ones, according to the Bible, wives are to be helpers to their husbands, Genesis chapter 2. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So implicit in these things is the matter of self-denial.
And so I ask you here this evening, you who are married, how's it going for you? I ask you, are you aware of the needs of your spouse? And are you seeking to put their needs above your own needs? Wives, I ask you, are you denying yourselves and being a real support to your husbands? A helper? Husbands, I ask you, are you putting aside your own interests, your own friends, your own time watching television, the newspaper, etc.? And are you spending time with your wife, seeking to nurture her and to love her? Now, dear friends, this is a very important matter, because if we are not denying ourselves in our homes regarding our spouses, biblical love will never flourish. If we are not denying ourselves in our homes, we will rear up a generation of children who will have no idea of what it means to love biblically. For according to 1 Corinthians 13, love does not seek its own. So may God help us in this regard. May God help us to have God-glorifying marriages where each one in that marriage union is denying themselves, putting the needs of their spouse before their own needs, and so glorify Christ in this regard. Sixthly, as Christians, if we're to follow Jesus as he calls us to, then we should be in the regular practice of denying ourselves, because it proves that we in fact are the children of God. It proves that we in fact are the children of God. Now, of course, as we know, salvation is all of God's free grace. Salvation is all of God's free and great grace, which is completely bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Lord alone. However, although salvation is free, the evidence that one has experienced it is seen in a life of wholehearted discipleship to Him. If someone has been saved, they are a new creation. And as a new creation, that individual, by the Spirit's help and power, seeks to deny himself, herself, and take up their cross and follow Jesus. The new believer will fight against remaining sin and seek to put off the deeds of the body. For as Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, will they do this perfectly? They will not. Will they fall short of the biblical standard from time to time? They will. However, now that they are Christians, the great purpose and bent of their lives will be to follow Jesus in this way. Before conversion, they only lived for self. Right? That's the mark of the unregenerate person. They lived for self. But now, as Christians, they seek to live for their Savior and to give their all for Him. And commenting on this matter about self-denial, proving that we are Christians, the great Puritan Thomas Watson rightly said, "Self-denial is the sign of a sincere Christian. Hypocrites may have great knowledge and make fair pretense, but it is only the sincere saint who can deny himself and lay his life at Christ's feet. It's only the true Christian who can do this." And again, here, as I said this morning, I believe, dear congregation, that we have a clear call for self-examination. What kind of life are you living before God, dear Christian? Ask yourself that question. I ask you, do you seek to live for Christ above all others? Is it Christ's word, Christ's ways, Christ's will, Christ's gospel? As the things which seek to govern your life, govern your decisions, be the ruling and guiding path for all that you do, I ask, is Jesus your all in all? I ask, are you willing to renounce self for Jesus? Are you willing to put what he says first and foremost as that which you aim for in your life, dear Christian? Well, the answers that you give to these questions will give you an indication of your spiritual state before God. The true Christian, by the grace of God, does seek to do these things. The true Christian desires, or rather, values Christ as the pearl of great price. And to glorify this Christ. And to obey this Christ. To follow hard after this Christ is what they seek to do with God's help. The Christian who does this, the one who does this, is the one who in fact is in a good spiritual state. The one who seeks to walk with Jesus and follow Him is one who could say and know that in fact he or she is a Christian. Seventhly, as Christians, if we are to follow Jesus as He calls us to, then we should be in the regular practice of denying ourselves, because we are all prone to boast in our own self-righteousness and so devalue the glory of Christ and His work on our behalf. We are to say no to self. We are to put self to death. We are to renounce old self, sinful self, boastful self. Because if we don't, we will minimize, we will devalue the glory of Christ and His work on our behalf, dear friends, if we are not regularly putting ourselves out of the picture. Then pride and conceit and our own self-worth and our good deeds will seek to overcome and overshadow what Christ has done for us. I say that if self is not constantly put in check, the glory of Christ and His gospel will not be greatly valued by us. If self is not constantly put in check, then we will minimize the glory of Jesus' cross. And so I ask you here this evening, dear Christian, how do you see yourself, even as a Christian? How do you see yourself? Do you think, well, I no longer do the things that I used to do. I'm no longer as wicked as I used to be. Therefore, maybe there's something in me that God is well pleased with. Well, sorry, there's not. Paul says, I know that no good thing dwelleth in me, that is, in my flesh. Paul, the devout servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said that he bore the marks of Jesus in his own body, I know that there dwelleth no good thing in me. Do you know that about yourself, Christian? I ask you, do you think that because you are no longer an unbeliever, that in any way, shape, or form, you have what it takes to be accepted by a perfect and holy and righteous God? Do you think there's even an inkling of a reason why God should say, not bad, my dear friend? Or do you say with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, verse 7 and following, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as dung, that I might gain Christ and have a righteousness not of my own, but the righteousness of Christ which is received by faith in Him. Dear friends, we need to deny ourselves. Because self has a sneaky way of creeping up. And causing the work of Christ, the worth of Christ, to be put down. If we have not been in the regular practice of denying ourselves as we ought, then our estimation of ourselves will be much higher than they ought to be. Instead of seeing ourselves in truth, that apart from Christ we are wretched and vile in the sight of a holy God, we will see ourselves as praiseworthy. And then indeed we are in dangerous waters. Dear brothers and sisters, since there remains in each of us a heart, rather in each of our hearts a little Pharisee, I say that we must regularly be in the practice of denying ourselves, or else we could be turned away from the gospel. I say that we must regularly be in the habit of self-denial, because self-confidence will prove to be a huge stumbling block in our lives. May God spare us of such things. Eighthly, as Christians, if we're to follow Jesus as he calls us to, then we should be in the regular practice of denying ourselves, because it will help us to grow in humility. And this, of course, dovetails with what I just said. It'll help us to grow in humility. Now, unfortunately, when God saves us, pride is not something which leaves us. It would be nice if this was the case, but it's not the case. And so what's a great means for us to grow in humility and in Christ-likeness? Well, the answer is by us being involved in the spiritual duty and discipline of self-denial. Dear ones, if we continue to feed our lust and our pride and never say no to ourselves, then we will be boastful, full of pride. And if this continues with us, as we read in Proverbs 16 and verse 18, we ought to be on guard, because that passage says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We must deny ourselves, because self loves to have the preeminence, and we will not grow in true humility. God calls us to be of humble mind, of a lowly posture. Here is one way to be helped to that great end. Ninth, as Christians, if we're to follow Jesus as he calls us to, then we should be in the regular practice of denying ourselves, because it will help us to bear adversities of any sort when they come upon us, because we will already have a lowly mindset about us. You see, if I am denying myself, which means I'm not constantly pampering myself, when trials come upon me, I won't be all bent out of shape, because I'm used to experiencing difficult things. You see, for the Christian who has properly denied himself over and over again throughout his life, they have learned that when difficulties come their way in the providence of God, they're not to murmur or complain. The Christian who has learned to live without through self-denial is the one who has been taught to maintain hope and confidence in the midst of trials and adversity. However, for the Christian who always thinks that they should get their way and that nothing or anyone should mess with their plans, this one gets all bent out of shape whenever trials come. Since this type of Christian is used to very little sacrificing of their lives, since they're used to everything always being comfortable for them, whenever trials come, they find themselves being greatly irritated. And yet I say this should not be the case. Denying ourselves helps us to have a mindset which says there are sacrifices that I need to make. There are things that I must say no to. I'm already in the disposition and posture of humility, and not expecting that all should go well, that there are no hardships in life. However, if, as I said, we're always pampering ourselves and never denying ourselves, we will not be able to stand well in the day of difficulty. Well, lastly then, as Christians, if we're to follow Jesus as he calls us to, then we should be in the practice of denying ourselves, because not only was this Jesus' pattern for us to follow, not only is this the way to true spiritual advancement in the Christian life, not only does this engender peace in the heart, not only will it help us to focus on the needs of others, not only will it serve as a great help in our marriages, not only will it prove that we are the children of God, not only will it exalt the work of Christ on our behalf, And not only will it help us in humility and be that which helps us better to deal with adversity of any sort, but we should be regularly involved in the practice of denying ourselves, because this is what all of God's people have done in every generation. Dear friends, I said this morning that although the broad evangelical church in our day, by and large, is ignorant of this whole matter of self-denial, if we check the record, both biblically and historically, we will see that God's people have regularly been in this practice of denying themselves. Biblically, we can think of Abraham leaving the pleasant plains of Mesopotamia and all his family, only to spend the rest of his life in a foreign wilderness among unsociable strangers. We can think of Moses, who gave up all the honors of the house of Pharaoh and the treasures of Egypt and suffered affliction with the people of God. We can think of Daniel, who denied himself by purposing in his heart that he would not eat the king's delicacies nor drink his wine with him. In the New Testament, we can think about the original 12. Jesus goes down to the lake and says, "Follow me." They left all, left their families, left their occupation, and committed themselves to Christ. And lastly, we could think of the great Apostle Paul himself, who could renounce the highest prospects of his nation for reproaches, stripes, imprisonments, and then ultimately death. What a noble band they were. And of course, we could think historically, dear brothers and sisters, we could think of such great men as Martin Luther, Calvin, who greatly denied himself. Read Calvin's life and how he hated being in Geneva. Oh, it was a terrible burden for him. He would have loved the life of a theologian out somewhere in the mountains, just reading and studying all day. He said he loathed going back into that city after he was banished for 3 years. But Farrell prevailed upon him and said, "Calvin, you must come back." He hated it with every ounce of his being. But he said, "For the cause of Christ and the honor of Jesus' name in that city, I will go." And so he went. George Whitefield, who had all kind of worldly prospects set before him, denied himself. Spurgeon, who could have been anything great in the world, denied himself. The great missionaries, Hudson Taylor, David Brainerd, and others, all lived a life of radical self-denial. Why? They took the Bible seriously. When Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and continually follow me all their days," that's what they did. They said no to self and yes to God, and so in truth, to quote the writer in the book of Hebrews, these were the ones of whom the world was not worthy. Well, in view of such a great cloud of witnesses, dear brothers and sisters, I say that if you're ever tempted to think this matter of self-denial a strange thing, remember that as you deny yourself, you are in good company. Men and women, biblically and historically, have done this practice. And what has been the result? Great Christians. Great Christians have been the result. Great men and women of God who have excelled in the things of Christ have been a real witness and testimony to His great and excellent name. Men and women who were real salt and light in this wicked and perverse generation. Oh, my friend, I commend to you this practice of self-denial. If, in fact, you learn to put Christ, His way, His word, His truth, His commands, and His gospel first, and yourselves second, you will not regret this at all, just like none of these did. Since the term a self-centered Christian is a term of impossible contradiction, may it be that all of us, with the help and grace of God, will seek to live in this way. Go home tonight, dear Christian, and consider certain ways within yourselves that you can begin to deny yourself. If you're married, speak to your spouse and ask, "Have I been careful? and courteous in this regard, to put your needs before my own needs. When you come into the church next Lord's Day, seek ways to be actively engaged in helping your brethren. They're not here to serve you. You're here to serve them. Serve them for Christ's glory and for Christ's honor. Here, dear Christian, is how we will bring praise to Jesus. Here is how we will honor His most blessed and worthy name. In closing, I end with a quote from John Calvin on this subject. In his wonderful treatment on this topic, Calvin wrote that although the law of God contains a perfect rule of conduct, admirably arranged, it is seen proper to our divine master to train his people by a more accurate method to the rule which is enjoined in the law. And the leading principle in the method is that it is the duty of believers to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is their reasonable service. From this it is derived the exhortation, says Calvin, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. The great point then is that we are consecrated and dedicated to God, and therefore should not henceforth think, speak, design, or act without a view to His glory. What He hath made sacred cannot, without great insult to Him, be applied to common use. But if we are not our own, but the Lord's, it is plain both what error is to be shunned, and to what end the actions of our lives ought to be directed. We are not our own, therefore, neither is our own reason or will to rule our acts and counsels. We are not our own, therefore, let us not make it our end to seek what may be agreeable to our carnal nature. We are not our own, therefore, as far as possible, let us forget ourselves and the things that are ours. Let's pray. Our Father, indeed, You have again challenged us. You've challenged us as Your people concerning this matter of self-denial. We confess, O God, that we don't think about this matter enough. But it is required of Your people. This is part and parcel with the Christian life. There's no escaping this fact. Lord, I pray then that You would use the various motives to cause Your people to walk in the way of self-denial. Lord, this is what You did for us, all the way to Golgotha. And we pray, O God, that as we seek to conform our lives to Yours, that we would not do this in word only, but in deed. Give us help then, we pray. We feel ourselves weak for the task. Empower us by the Holy Ghost, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen.